Jerry Bader Show, 1022. I'm dying to talk about two TV shows that I watch, Mad Men and The Americans. I have talked about The Americans a little bit. Mad Men, I think I'm about one of 20% of Mad Men watchers who watch it when it's on Sunday night. So I can't really give anything away. Sundays was pivotal in terms of what's going to happen to Don Draper in season 7. It was pivotal. It was a very good episode. I think the series has really regained its stride, and I haven't seen the ratings lately. But I think creatively it's one of the better seasons. It'll be interesting to see, because as they did with Breaking Bad, AMC has broken this up. It's not really the last season. They're calling it the last season. It's the first half of the last season. 7 episodes in 2014, 7 episodes in 2015. This was episode, it was only episode 2? I don't even remember now. But it's going to be very, very interesting to see. The Americans had one kind of bad episode so far this season. Otherwise, it's been better than season 1. If there's a way that you can catch up online, that's the show on FX, the Soviet agents in the early 80s living in Washington, D.C. as husband and wife. They've lived there for 20 years. It's very, very powerful. I mentioned before the break that a new poll is very bad news for Democrats. Nobody doubts that Republicans are going to hold on to the House. The big mystery in November 2014 is, will they capture the Senate? And what would that mean for the remainder of the Obama presidency? They're trying everything. Their big strategy appears to be the minimum wage. They want to force a vote on the minimum wage. They believe it's a winner. They believe that a majority of Americans support raising the minimum wage to $10.10. They want to get Republicans on record voting against it and bludgeon them with it all fall. But they have another strategy, and this one is, they are really putting their head potentially in the lion's mouth here. They want to give cover to some Democrats who are vulnerable in the Senate, who are running as pro-energy Democrats. There are several, most notably and most aggressively, Mary Landrieu of Louisiana. That's what the delay in the Keystone XL pipeline was all about. Push that decision off to after November, and then Landrieu and the others who are pretending to be strong energy Democrats can bludgeon the Obama administration. Well, that was just wrong. They should pass the pipeline. They should pass the pipeline. By the way, a majority of Americans support the pipeline. To give those Democrats cover, Harry Reid and other Democratic leadership in the Senate are considering voting next week to circumvent the administration and approve the pipeline. This is raising a lot of eyebrows, particularly among liberal Democrats. Wait a minute. As Politico's Burgess Everett reports, a vote on the Keystone XL pipeline as soon as next week is possible under discussion by top Senate Democrats. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid and his team are weighing the political implications of holding a vote on approval of the controversial pipeline as part of an energy efficiency bill written by Senators Jeanine Shaheen of New Hampshire and Rob Portman, Ohio Republican, Shaheen a Democrat. A vote on Keystone would offer a strong boost to red state Democrats in tough races this fall, allowing them to defy the White House in support of a project viewed favorably back home. This gives them, in their home states, where they need the support, where their pro-energy states, well, he or she is with us. The Senate hopes to consider the Shaheen-Portman bill as soon as next week, though leaders have yet to coalesce around a strategy of how to deal with Keystone peace. The Keystone issue is particularly urgent, given the highly politicized nature of the proposed pipeline and because Shaheen-Portman could be the last energy bill the Senate considers before November. One option would be to strike a deal with the Republicans to allow the Shaheen-Portman legislation to proceed without votes on controversial amendments and instead hold a separate vote on the Keystone. Democrats could choose to make the vote a sense of the Senate resolution, though this path lacks the teeth that Republicans or red state Democrats desire. So they could just do a non-binding resolution, which would not help Democrats in that red in those red states at all. So the thinking is, well, let's vote on it. A binding vote would be even trickier. The Obama administration has punted a decision on the northern leg of the pipeline for the time being, which means Democrats would be moving to supplant the president if they hold a vote on Keystone. To preserve some authority, the White House would seek to keep support for the bill. And this is critical right here. To preserve some authority, the White House would seek to keep support for the bill under 67 votes that can override a presidential veto. Keystone would need 60 votes to pass the Senate. The non-binding vote last year drew the support of 62 senators. So here's where this gets incredibly interesting. Okay. Suppose it gets more than 67 votes in a binding vote. Suppose it's veto-proof. So the thought here would be the veto would be the last firewall for President Obama. Look, we let these vulnerable red state Democrats vote for the Keystone Pipeline, and then President Obama vetoes it, and then it's perfect. Then all fall long, these red state Senate Democrats can say, look, we can do this. We wanted to do this, but we couldn't get past the presidential veto, so you can go ahead and vote for me because I support the Keystone Pipeline. What if they get 67 votes? What if it gets 67 votes in the Senate and then he vetoes it? And then some of those Democrats who voted, well, now, what do they do? This is a very precarious position that Harry Reid is putting the president in to try to give cover to a handful of red state Democrats. It would be fascinating if it got a veto-proof majority. It absolutely would. It's 10:30.
Things Jerry Bader, jerrybadershow.com.